Hi, my name is Tracy Coral, and welcome to Indispensable People. I'm a wife, mom, teacher, pastor, and missionary, and I believe that every person should have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in Him, and serve Him with the gifts that He has given, no matter their ability. Over 65 million Americans have a disability. That's 25% of the population. However, over 80% of them are not inside the walls of our church. Let's dive into those hard topics, biblical foundations, perceptions, and world-changing ideas. Hey, hey, welcome to episode 20 of Indispensable People. I'm excited to share with you an experience that I just had arriving back from Costa Rica from a missions trip where I got to have the conversation about special needs ministry, disability ministry with a local children's pastor there. So let me give you a little bit of background on the trip and who was there and why we went to do what we did. So there was a team of 19 of us, and it was probably one of the coolest missions teams that I have ever seen. Our youngest attendee was 9, and our oldest was in her 70s. So it was a very neat generational trip where God really used the kids to break some barriers, and just such a blessing to be able to go and to serve together. So the purposes behind the trip were to do children's ministry through a VBS, and also we were hoping for some opportunities to connect with some pastors and leaders to have the discussion about serving people with special needs. And so when the week got started, it really didn't look like we were going to have the chances for those conversations. But what ended up happening is the children's pastor from the local church, which was one of the locations that we put on the VBS, she liked how we did the program. She really liked the interactions of our children's pastor and just the setup of the program. And so she came to our missionaries and asked if she could spend some time chatting with us, which was really great, and gave us opportunities to just really talk about real life. So first, let me explain. We had two different opportunities to do VBSs every day, one at which was on the reserve on a mountain, somewhat of a secluded area. We had to ride on the back of pickup trucks for about an hour, hour and a half to get to the top of the mountain. And when we arrived there, the children were very reserved. We had to show them how to play with the things that we had brought with us. And they were just, you know, weren't sure first day of us. By the third day, we're all playing together, laughing, having a great time. But the second type of VBS was a local church where that was located near a school, and it was much more a populated area. And my children's pastor and I just looked at each other and said, these kids are very similar to our children back home. And they brought a lot more energy with them, and they were ready to play from the get-go, and all that kind of stuff. But in our conversations with the children's pastor, she began to reveal to us a little bit of information about the kiddos that she serves that we got to interact with. And attention and focus seems to be one of the biggest struggles that she has. And I wanted to say, ding, 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 doesn't matter what country you're in, but that seems to travel no matter where you go. And we've talked about this before, but we always have to remember that it's not always just disability that brings up attention and focus issues. Our kids live in a world today where everything is immediate. They have electronics at their fingertips and can change a show at a drop of a hat. For those of you who might be my age or a little bit older, you know, we sat through commercials. We had to wait things out, right? It was the race to the bathroom or to get a snack or something else before the show came back on, or we were watching the commercials. So we live in a bit of a different world nowadays. However, those kids in Costa Rica, where we were at, they don't have all that technology at the ready as ours do here in the US. So it's a little bit easier to differentiate the need for focus and attention. Is it activity based and they're just used to having so much activity that we're not holding their attention when we ask them to listen? Or is it really an ADHD factor or something like that, or a sensory issue that is leading us to ask some of those questions? So we got to sit down and we got to chat with her. And first we got to reassure her that her kiddos, just like our kiddos, they've got lots of energy, they're raring and ready to go. But also we got to confirm to her what a great job that she's already doing. So the lead pastor, the first day of the VBS, the lead pastor came up and he greeted the children, and they were still pretty rowdy and, you know, kind of talking over him and that kind of stuff. But on the second day, when the children's pastor was there and she greeted the children, you could tell the whole room was completely different. Without requiring or demanding it, they gave her that attention and that focus. Now, of course, you have kiddos who can't maintain that for a long period of time, but you can tell that she's established a rapport with those kids that really makes a difference. So that was one thing we were able to confirm in her. And a lot of times we have to do that when we're training pastors here in the States, because they feel defeated. They feel like, you know what, maybe what they're doing isn't good enough. But here's the thing. We will not ever reach all the children all the time, right? One week you might have a group of children's attention and the next week they're a little off, or maybe they had a bad day at home or something else is going on at school and it's causing distractions. And then you have our kiddos with special needs who are regularly dealing with stuff, but still those extraneous things really impact them as well. Do they have breakfast? Did they sleep well? You know, is mom and dad arguing at home? Was a friend mean to them at school? That will all impact their focus and attention even more so over their special need. So what were we able to tell her? Here's one of the basics that we always do. I do this in every ministry, knowingly or unknowingly, that I'm serving people with special needs. You have to have a change up in movement. So maybe you start service with a greeting, then a game, then you're to worship. And through those things in the greeting, they're sitting and they're listening. Through the game, they're up and they're moving. Worship, they're being able to participate. Then you're going to the Bible story, and maybe they listen or watch the Bible story, which then turns into maybe a skit or some kind of object lesson. And then you go on from there, and you just keep switching it up and giving movement and opportunity, but also bringing in different avenues of learning, listening, watching, interacting, hands-on, all that kind of stuff will really make big impacts into the learning. So those are basic things that you can do every single week, regardless of the kids that are sitting in front of you. So that's super important. And those strategies will work for teens, and they will also work for adults as well. But what do you do for the kids who do struggle more so, and even those switch ups and changes in your day to day or minute by minute don't work? And so those were the next steps. So we talked about potentially having some fidgets available for those kiddos. Now, listen, if you're going to give fidgets away, you need to consider the kind of fidgets. All kids think fidgets are cool, and any kid with or without a disability is going to want to be able to use them. However, your fidgets are going to take a little bit of training. So you need to make sure that they know what they're for, why they're for, and how they should be using them. But also, when you consider the type of fidget, I suggest using a fidget that is not disruptive. So you don't want it to be noisy. You don't want it to be flying. You don't want it to be, you know, swinging or anything like that. You want to make sure that it can be contained and that it is not noisy so that it doesn't disrupt the other children. Because a fidget or a strategy that disrupts everybody else isn't helping the whole. So you need to be aware of that. The other option is, do you need to provide one of the kids with maybe a clipboard and a piece of construction paper, a plain piece of copy paper, where they can illustrate the story as you go? My children's pastor at our church has a chalkboard wall, and one of our kiddos during the Bible story would get up, go over to the chalkboard wall, and he would draw out the Bible story as she was telling it or showing it. Those are great options because it brings in the focus and attention because they have a part to play in it. The other thing she brought up was that some of the kids, they're behavior is more attention getting, which a lot of kids with ADHD do struggle with that. They want the attention on them, and it doesn't matter if it's positive or it's negative. And so we instructed her that a lot of times kiddos like that just need a job assignment. They need something that can show them that they have a role and they have a place and there's a purpose for them and that they can do that positively. And that keeps them busy. It gives them a sense of belonging and ownership. And then that takes away the distraction that they might cause to other children and the distraction that they might cause to themselves. Those are just some really great strategies that go super easy. You need minimal things to intervene. One of the last things that I talked to her about, which I've shared with you guys before, are just some sensory issues. Now, the rooms in Costa Rica are not overwhelming in the sense of they don't have a lot of things on the wall. Things are kind of blank. I mean, they have bright color painting, but other than that, it's pretty tame, so they don't have to compete with focus and attention on the things in the environment. But what we did suggest for them is if there are some kiddos that have some sensory issues, that in that place would be more sound-based. The sound deafening headphones or the soundproofing headphones or earplugs or anything like that would be a huge benefit. So for example, I was standing at the back of the room while one of the skits or dramas was going on, and they were playing music as kind of like a transition in between them. And one little guy, he started to hit his head. And one of my other team members that was on the team, she is a nurse, and she had seen the same thing that I did. And we were talking about what might be going on there. And what we noticed was that he had an enlarged head. It was a little bit outside of the normal range of size. And so there might be something medically going on there, which then makes sound and extra things maybe harsh or feel like they hurt to him. And so we were able to describe that situation to her and talk about those headphones, the noise-canceling headphones. I called them something else earlier, but the noise-canceling headphones are really great in so many ways. They don't knock out all the noise. They still give you the ability to hear. It just feels a lot calmer. It feels a lot more soft and less harsh, which means it's a bit easier to deal with. The cool thing was, overall, the similarities of the needs are the same. Why are they the same? Well, the special need and the disability is the same. The symptoms don't necessarily change per environment, right? It's a medical diagnosis. And here's one thing that I will share with you. As a mom of a child with ADHD, I grew up in a very old school home, which said, you sit when I say sit, you listen when I say listen. We're not going to explain everything to you. And sometimes, because I said so is just going to be enough, or at least most times because I said so is enough. And so, as a mom having a child diagnosed with ADHD, I was questioned regularly about, my son and his ADHD. And I've had other people describe kids with ADHD and say, you know, they just need a swift kick in the tush. Or, you know, someone who will be a little bit more disciplinarian or whatever. But here's the deal. You don't fake a medical diagnosis. If it's real, it's real. If the symptoms exist, they exist across the board. Sometimes people get so confused with ADHD because they think that person can't focus on a single thing. However, one of the symptoms of ADHD is becoming hyper-focused on certain things. So it's just best to leave those diagnoses to the medical doctors. And remember, when it comes to ministry, that our job is to share Jesus with them and find the best avenues possible. It's not to pick them apart. It's not to decide for ourselves if their disability is real or not, but it's to provide Jesus in an accessible way so that they can know that they are loved, that they were created by him, and that there is a plan and a place for them in this life, and then a plan for them after this. And that's what's most important. And I find it so incredible and so exciting that even in a different country, with different culture, with different languages, that the same things that we can do for kids here in the U.S. can be done for kids across the world. So remember that as you're serving. Remember that as you meet these people and meet these families and try to meet their needs and help make the gospel accessible, because that is our number one goal. Jesus should be accessible to everyone. Do I know everything about disability ministry? Do I have all the answers? Have I done everything perfectly? I've absolutely not. But we are going to continue this conversation so that people of all abilities can have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in him, and serve him with the gifts that he has given them.